sometimes we forget that we can be revived. Sometimes we forget that God wants to work in us. Our scriptural affirmation today is associated with our the fact that we are going to indulge ourselves in the Lord's Supper today. I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. In the same way also the cup, after saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord.
Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup.
For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. But if we judged ourselves truly, we should not be judged.
But when we are judged by the Lord, we are chastened so that we may not be condemned along with the world.
Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Is discombobulated a word, Lord? Sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel at odds with everything. And we're just asking that today we would sense your presence here and you would straighten it all out. That you would fill us, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would help us, that you would make us into the men and women you'd have us to be. We need your presence. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, right now, would you help us? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Of all glory, he's worthy of our honor. He is worthy because he is God and there is none other like him. Sometimes we forget what we're doing. Sometimes we don't get, and we are not, frankly, not passionate enough about the fact that we get to come before the throne of grace, that empowering thing that we are allowed, that unmerited favor we have been given grace. I mean, if you are taking a breath today, if your heart is beating today, it is the grace of God working in you. It's the grace of God working through you. It is an amazing thing. And sometimes we forget just how good it is to know God. We get that we can come boldly, it says, to the throne of grace to find mercy. I don't know about you, but I need his mercy sometimes. Maybe a little bit more often than I would like to admit. When I stop and think about it, mercy has been given to me greatly. I had something last night that stirred my emotion deeply and reminded me of how much mercy I've been given. There's sometimes you need a reminder from your past, the reminder of your past, just to realize that you ain't all that and that you sure got away with a lot of stuff. Betty and I are experiencing a weird sensation this week. Well, Betty may not be feeling as much as I am because she's younger than I am. but feeling old, I went to my 50th high school reunion. Yeah, at least I had a reunion to go to. Anyway. Oh, gee. You see, and people will treat you bad just because you're old and think they can get away with it. But
don't worry, I'm getting.
So it's interesting, you know. You go there and you look around and there's old people there, and you're looking for your friends and they're old people. And it reminds you of the stuff that you did, stuff you didn't do. It reminds you of the good, the bad, the ugly. And you realize that you are more ugly than good. It's just an amazing thing that sometimes we need to be reminded of how much God has done for us because we are still standing here today. One of the most emotional times, of course, was when they read all the memorial, all the people who have passed. And you're going, they can't be gone. How could they be gone? Because if they're gone, it could have been me. But it's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. See, when you're young, you don't recognize how much of it is a mercy that you open your eyes every morning. And you haven't recognized the challenge that you present before God when you're not in line with His truth. But when you've been around for a while and He begins to remind you of some of those things, you go, oh, He's been good to me. I just have to confess, I woke up this morning, woke up earlier than usual for me, and was just unsettled. And actually still don't feel like I've settled down yet. Just unsettled from the fact that sometimes we live in an illusion. It's easy to think higher of yourself than you should. It's easy to think differently than you should. I look and I recognize that God has been good, but often I have not been good. And I think that's what Amos is trying to tell his folks. Our scripture comes from the second chapter of Amos. Amos was a sheep herder from Tekoa, I believe that is in the southern part of Israel, and he was a prophet that was called to the northern part of the country. The northern part was called Israel, the southern part was called Judah at this time. And Israel was really prosperous at this time. They had the money. They had the stuff. They had established themselves. Besides the time of Solomon, this is probably their most prosperous time. These folks have got it going on. You know, sometimes we feel that way. We're really doing pretty good. We've got cars and houses, and God is taking care of us, and He's brought us to this place, and we're pretty settled. But maybe sometimes we need to do like Amos caused them to do, is to look back or even look in the mirror and see what kind of people they really were. Have you looked in the mirror to see what you really are? Have you looked in the mirror to consider what God really wants to do to you? In chapter 2, starting at verse 4, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four. In other words, this is serious stuff. That you've done so many things, I need to talk to you for a moment. He says, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord. Do you despise the law of God? Do you despise the word of God? You know, sometimes we look at the word of God and the word of God says A, B, C, and we say, nope, D, E, F. And you know, it's really easy to do that because we have it made up in our mind what we want to do. And, you know, we even redefine it to think that what we want to do is good. But God is saying, they despise my word. They just did whatever they wanted to. They have not kept his commandments and their lies. Remember, when you say one thing and the word of God says another thing, you're the liar. Nobody likes to be called a liar. I understand. So don't lie. And their lies caused them to err. It caused them to mess up. It caused them to do things that were not good, after the which their fathers have walked. And they came from a community that did this. They weren't the only ones. They came from a people around them that did this. Their mothers and fathers did this. You could almost understand why they fell into some of this mess. You could almost understand why it happened this way, because that's what they'd seen around them. And that's what they decided that they would do. But God says, I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Now, we have the wonderful thing of 2020 hindsight. We can look back and we see that this stuff actually happened. Here, they're in the midst of this, not realizing that something could happen to them, not believing that anything could happen to them. They were prosperous. They were good people. They were doing whatever they wanted to do, and it seemed okay. Some of them were rich. Some of them were well off. Some of them were well adjusted. Verse 6, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. These folks were not right. One of the things that this scripture that we're looking at does, it condemns all of the surrounding nations. So they would condemn one nation, then he condemned another, and then he condemned another. And that was okay with them. They were like, yeah, we don't like them, those people anyway. Do you ever secretly feel okay when something bad happens to your neighbor? You know, somebody you didn't like very much. You know, that person that's been annoying you for a long time. Well, they just got what they deserved. You ever see somebody, listen, I'm thinking back to high school now. This didn't happen yesterday. But you ever see somebody just clock somebody, and the only thing that you missed about it is that you weren't the one that did it? But then, you know, as much trouble as they got in, you were happy, you know. No. Of course, not my life. So I've actually lost my place because of that. Because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes, what they did is they were taking advantage of poor people. You know, to be poor in that society was like a real drag. Because if you owed somebody some money, they could just, you know, put you in jail until you could pay. I've never figured out why you'd want to put a person in jail until they could pay, because they can't pay because they're in jail. You know, just never seemed to make a lot of sense to me. But, you know, I guess they could sell their children or something, you know. It got really ugly. Can you imagine that? Yeah, come to our church. We'll sell your children. So I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. For a pair of shoes. They were treating each other as if they were worthless. Who are you treating as worthless? Who are you treating in a way that demonstrates you don't think anything of them? You would get rid of them for a pair of shoes. That pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father will go into the same maid to profane my holy name. We won't talk too much about how ugly this really is. Some say that they were treating servants badly, so a man and his son would mistreat someone. Some say that was part of worship services, and they were doing horrible things. You know, I would love to think that treating people badly is a thing of the past. Wouldn't that be nice? If we were just shocked that people ever got treated badly. But then you look at the statistics. Something like 4 out of 5 women, 5 out of 7 men are abused before adulthood. We're still hurting each other. We're still treating each other badly. We're still saying things about each other, doing things to each other that ought not to be done. We like to look at these people and say, how in the world could they have been so stupid? How in the world could they have treated people so badly? As we do some of the same things, and we see those things being done around us and we do nothing about them. Verse 9, yet destroyed I the Amorites before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as the oaks, yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. He's reminding them of their history now. He's reminding them how they drove the people of Canaan. That's where the Amorites were. They drove the people of Canaan out. He completely destroyed them so that they were not a people anymore, just so these people, this Israel, could live there. He'd done wonderful things for them. What wonderful things has God done for you? Do you remember the wonderful things that he has done for you, or have you become so spoiled that you've forgotten? Doesn't it drive you crazy when one of the kids is so spoiled that they've forgotten all the good? Took the kids to the Canfield Fair. Had lots of fun at the Canfield Fair. I know there was something that happened later, but we went on Thursday night, and the fair is expensive. And I'm spending lots of money, joyfully. And I've got crying children at the end of the night. See? well, I won't tell which one. I hope they're listening. I won't tell which one, but they wanted a lemonade so bad. They wanted something to drink so bad. And I got them the lemonade. And it was too cold for them to carry. You know, sometimes we don't know how to receive a blessing. Yeah. All right. But that's how we are. That's how we are with God. He gives us so much. He treats us so well. And we whine. Verse 10, and I brought you up from the land of Egypt. They were slaves. I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. And I raised up your sons for prophets. I gave tremendous gifts, just tremendous gifts to you. It's just amazing. I raised up for prophets and of your young men for Nazarites. That means that they took a vow of they wouldn't drink and they wouldn't cut their hair. And they were just a reminder that God was dealing specially with these people. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink. You know what some of you used to do with the goody two-shoes. You know, the goody two-shoes kids, you used to try to get them to do bad things so that they would get in trouble. You used to try to get them to not be all that. So your parents would never again say, you ought to be like them. You wanted to see them fall. You know, that's how we are in community. We want to see other people fall. Yeah. And that's what was going on here. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. Here they were, people of God, had a relationship with God, wanted to speak to you the truth, and you didn't want to hear it. Behold, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. It's like a huge, our sin puts a huge weight on. There's blessing for us, and more blessing is piled on, but as our sins are piled on too, the cart just collapses. And we can go no further. Therefore, the flight shall perish from the swift. For those getting ready to go in battle, they're no longer fast. And the strong shall not strengthen his force. The strong are feeling weak, and they won't be able to do what they are supposed to do. Neither shall the mighty deliver himself. No more can they get from under the things that are coming. See, we have to live as people that understand if we continue to sin, there will come a day when we can't go any further. We can't do any better. When we can't depend on our natural selves. Verse 15, neither shall he stand that handleth the bow. And he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself, neither shall he that rideth the horse deliver himself. And he that is courageous, the one that seemed like he was so tough, one that seemed like he was so strong, among the mighty shall flee away, naked in that day, saith the Lord. I know this is a kind of a strange message, and I've been a little burdened down with that. But while I was at the reunion, seeing all of my friends from 50 years ago, there were those that were beautiful children. Now they look like mature adults. There were those who were physically strong, who are ill. There were those who were really quite bright, suffering the onset of diseases that don't allow them to think as quickly. Those surface things we can't depend on. Today is the day for you to understand that what keeps you, who keeps you, is God Himself. We need to recognize that what's important is that we believe that Jesus Christ paid for all of our sins. We couldn't organize this ourselves. We couldn't fix it ourselves. He had to pay for our sin because we were born into sin. We were born into the family of Adam and Eve, and all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is a wondrous gift. There is this amazing thing that He has done for us. He lived as a man, completely, thoroughly as a man. He lived and became for us the payment of the price that we owed because we had offended a holy God. We couldn't have paid that on our own. We can't stay beautiful. We don't stay strong. Our minds may slip. All kinds of things may happen to us. Listen, whatever you are today, you may not be that tomorrow. And the change sometimes happens so incrementally that you don't even get it. You don't know. But you have a debt that we all have. It's real. It's a debt that we all have. And God is so very good to us that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we must believe that Jesus came. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. After being crucified, punished for our sin, He died on the cross. Three days later, He rose again, demonstrating that He truly was God Himself. All of our sin wiped away if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. I know it's a phenomenal thing. I know it's crazy. But I also know it's true. Today, will you accept the free gift of God's grace? Today, Will you accept that he can empower you to know salvation? Will you accept that he can empower you to take the next step in this journey of life? Will you accept that he can empower you to be the person that you have been called to be? Today, you can do this thing in his power. But apart from him, it shows that you've forgotten the stuff that you've already messed up in. Apart from him, it shows that you're blowing it. You need him. I need him. Today, will you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Would you bow your head with me? You might want to pray this prayer. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, today I realize I'm no better than old Israel. I don't get it right a lot. And even when I get it right, it doesn't feel right necessarily. So I'm asking. I'm asking that, can I come to you, Lord? I want to be changed. I agree with you that I have sinned, and I thank you that you cleanse me of my sin, because I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I believe you have led me to that, that you have given me the power to say that, to believe that. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you for changing me. If that is a true prayer for you, if that is the real deal for you, the wonderful thing is, that means you've been brought into a new forever family. A new forever family. People that will love you and care for you and help you. Knowing that you have God. You have Jesus. And that would make you eligible, if you've been baptized, to share in the Lord's Supper. That Lord's Supper indicates that you believe all the stuff that I've been talking about today, that Jesus Christ is Lord. But don't take it lightly. Be careful what you do. Don't take it lightly, because you are proclaiming to the King of the universe that you are his, and that's a big deal.